name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Today, we once again contemplate this encounter between our Lord Jesus Christ and the Samaritan woman. As we know, the Samaritans and the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. And so this encounter is remarkable in itself in that even Christ would even be speaking to this lady. Much less have the kind of interaction and the depth of interaction spiritually that he had with her. We can see so much in this encounter. And he uses as he does with us so often, he uses the natural needs that she has, that being thirst, as a segue, as it were, to bring her to himself for salvation. So he starts from a point where she has this need, and so he starts there. He meets her where she was, and that's the way he does with all of us. He meets us where we are. They start out talking about physical water, but he quickly makes a shift to a discussion about eternal water. Water that will satisfy eternally. Something that cannot be given in a natural sense, but only from God. So we see that this woman from this race of people that the Jews had nothing to do with, she later became Saint Fotini. She became a saint. But the Lord, when he looked at her, he knew her heart. He knew the good and the bad. He knew the good in that she had a hunger and a thirst for the righteousness of God. She might not could have verbalized it that well at that point in time, but she did have it. And he saw that, and he knew that. But he also saw the bad. So he asked her about her husband, and she said, "I have no husband," which was technically true. She had had five and was living with a man at that time. And the Lord brings that into the light. And her response is remarkable. You don't see her getting all huffy and defensive and embarrassed or whatever. She is amazed that he knows her heart that well. And she is immediately humble and honest before God. And so we see in this that she was receptive to the word of God. There was a readiness in her. How that got there, I don't think we know. But the fact that it was there is a very critical aspect of this encounter. This has a lot to say to you and to me as well. We do have something to do with maintaining that sense of readiness for the gospel. We have to maintain that. The notion that you can just have some kind of emotional experience one time in your life, and that's all it takes, and then you just kind of put it on cruise control, is really beyond belief. I don't know how anybody could ever believe that. We know that this life, our whole life, is a journey to the kingdom of God, not just one emotional moment. Or some dramatic incident in our life where we have this big conversion. Conversions are great. I'm not in any way criticizing that. But we are called to walk with God. We are called to become like Him. And that takes a lifetime. As I heard a priest say many years ago, that we should see our lives as a lifetime project. That we must be continually working on ourselves. And I will also take it a step further and say that the church teaches us that this process of illumination, this process of of transformation is eternal. It never ends. Even in the kingdom of God, eternal. We will never get to a point where we're not growing. And St. Paul used this terminology, from glory to glory. And that's an apt description, mystical as it is, of the reality of our relationship with God. We grow into it. It takes a lifetime. It takes eternity. But it's from glory to glory, from joy to joy to joy. He is so deep there. He's inexhaustible. And he is the source of all goodness. He is the source of all life. And he wants to pour that life out in us. And that it was that to which he was referring when he talked about the living water. This living water. And so St. Fotini said, I want that. I want that. Do we? Do we want that? It's a question that we all must answer, not once, but every day of our life. Do we want that? What are we seeking? Where is the treasure of our heart? St. Fotini was so taken by this encounter that, you know, the reason she came to the well to begin with was to get some water. And she leaves her jar there, which is indicative of her reordering her priorities. And it's a good example to us. It speaks to us of the fact that the things of this world are not eternal. They are not eternal. The things of this world, while they can be a blessing and all of that, when they get in the way of our seeking this water that will satisfy the thirst that we have, this eternal thirst for God, then we have a problem and we must do something about it and remove anything and everything that stands in the way of that. And so this woman, St. Fotini, the Samaritan woman, you know, her life has just been given a renewal that she doesn't even know how to describe. And she's pretty excited about it. And she goes and shares it with her other Samaritan friends. Again, this is remarkable unto itself. Here's Christ, a Jew, who is seeking out these people, these Gentiles, these Samaritans. And many others believed because of her testimony. We must remember what God does in us has a rippling effect. I love St. Seraphim of Sarov's quote. I believe it was he that said something to the effect of, save yourself and you will save thousands of others around you. This encounter that this woman had bore immediate benefits. The rippling effect that we see in her life, in her encounter with Christ, was that many others believed as well and came to the Lord and to salvation. So this is a great thing to reflect on, this incident. St. Fotini, we thank God for her. We thank God that he, even though all of us are Gentiles, we are all sinners. None of us is worthy of his righteousness, of his glory, of all the gifts that he lays on us, all of these things. Let us give thanks. Let us worship him in spirit and in truth, as he said today. That is where what we are called to do. And in so doing, then we can partake of this living water that will, from which we will never go thirsty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.